This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
Sounds like you're already like fucking here. What's going on? It's so interesting.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with John T and Tamar.
Yay!
It's so cool to have you in the studio.
There's nothing that compares to sit with you here. It's really amazing. And of course with amazing people.
Yes, my sometimes really smart friend Christos.
Hello.
That was kind of making love to the microphone just a minute ago.
Yeah, it's tempting. You know, microphone, you've got to tap it. Go one.
But it's true. When you have also the ear set, you can really, you make love to the microphone. Yeah. You like chat gently.
It's very intimate.
Mm.
Mm. It is. I've been very intimate with myself this week. We shot a new program.
Don't you have to explain that?
Yes. So it's an intimacy program for couples that's going online.
Oh, this is just the best thing.
2 weeks' time, on Wednesday the 14th, Is it the 14th?
I'm going to check now.
So it's not this coming Wednesday, but the Wednesday after. I think it's the 14th. Okay. Yes, it is the 14th. We're doing a free webinar for this.
Whoa.
So it's going to be up on Facebook in a week, the advert for this. But I've had to watch all the clips, you know, for the final edit and things.
Sure.
And it's really hard for me to watch myself.
For everybody.
Not easy. But I have to tell you, it looks amazing. And yay. I really amaze myself with some of the things that I've said in it. Because the whole thing is how to help you have more intimacy.
Sure.
And it's so powerful. Mm. It's really beautiful. And I'm so looking forward to it. And I'm so excited about
so
it.
So proud of you, Gent.
Thank you.
This is amazing stuff. It's
thank you.
Thank you for bringing this to the world.
And while we're talking about that, Tuesday night, I'm doing a workshop I haven't done for a long time, Expanded Orgasm.
We'll be there.
And we'll talk a little bit more about it, but it's such an important workshop. And I know we screwed up dates again, because you're doing Aqua on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I've got Aqua Moves on Tuesday, so I can't be there again.
And I can't be at Aqua Moves. We need to coordinate a bit more. Anyway.
It just means that more people are going to be blessed, because you are going to have a group and you're going to have a group.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful.
That's it. So.
So, wow. So the webinar, 14th. Okay.
Starting time.
Dirty dictionary word.
Guy Brater. Today's dirty dictionary word is a guy brater. Any idea what a guy brater might be?
I have a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Share your picture.
Share your picture. Let's social media the picture.
Yeah. Share your picture.
What is in the picture of a guy brater? Yeah, I have one in my bag.
No, oh, really?
No, but I would like to have one. I think York will definitely. Oh, he's gone. He will agree with me that every woman should have a guy brater, okay. And every guy that wants should have a guy brater.
So, in your terms, what is a guy brater?
So it will be a vibrator actually for guys.
Okay.
Guy brater.
Okay.
Just very specific for a prostate, maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
Guy brater.
Yeah, okay. Was that your picture, more or
no,
less?
Mine
or
no, mine involved a rubber doll that was a guy that kind of vibrated. So I had a different picture.
You had a full image, full size.
Okay.
Mine is portable.
Okay, well, you're both right.
Okay.
Because it's a sex toy for a man.
Oh, so today we were clever. I think it's my first one this year.
So you're both right in different ways. Maybe in 4 years.
In 4 years. It's true. You know that I visited Mistress Cleo.
Yeah.
And slave Nina was sitting there in the party. And she came to me, Tamar, I was in your radio show, John T, and you remember it was shrimping, the term, the dirty dictionary, and you said, Like a clit to suck on. That's what it means.
They were sucking toes, wasn't it? Shopping.
And I was like, wow, that's how you remember me. That's great. Yeah. In the middle of a full swing fetish party. I said, Damaris, sucking on clits. Yeah, that's my impression. What can I say?
Okay, that's interesting. The that shrimping. Was a cool word, shrimping.
It was a cool show, also discussing slave, happy.
Yeah, they got married slaves. A little while ago.
Yeah, I met her husband as well there. Yeah. Very kinky, loving family.
Hmm. Well, you know what they say.
What they say?
We're about to be very un-PC, and I'm not going to cast too many aspersions over certain areas of Johannesburg or Cape Town or anywhere else. The family that plays together stays together.
Send a fucking roller. It's a happy fucking family.
There we go.
If it works for you, it works for you.
Absolutely. Very, very cool. Interesting stuff. So, boys and girls, we are talking today about male sexuality and the male member and everything.
The penis.
Well, that's part of it.
No, but that's how it goes in school. There's a penis and that's it.
So what actually happened was Christos and I were having lunch this week.
And you have very interesting discussions.
And we were talking about, we do, and we were talking about things. And we started talking a little bit about male sexuality and some processes and healing and stuff for men, and that's where this came from. And then I have been thinking a lot this week about something, that the starting point is that we need a very different story to look at male sexuality in general, full stop.
Totally, yeah.
But we're talking about men this morning. And the story that we're telling is always the same. So with that story, we can't really do anything differently. And one of the biggest things that I think is coming out of this, for me anyway, is that the story of male sexuality begins and is centered around genitals. That's the problem.
Mm.
Because we can't go anywhere else from there, because when the entry point is the same, the story becomes the same.
I am my genitals. That's it, basically.
Yeah.
And what's more, it's so what you do with them will define you as a person, gay, straight, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's everything around sexuality and identity revolves around, you know, one act or one moment in life.
Yeah. You know, and a very specific type of criteria, only if it does that function,
that is
good sexuality.
So this is the interesting thing, and I teach a process. Everybody who works with me, whether you're a man or a woman, we do a process of establishing an emotional connection with your genitals. Because for most of us, men particularly, our relationship with our genitals is functional. We're concerned that it works to do whatever it is that it's supposed to do. There's no emotional connection. So heart and genitals, firstly, for a lot of men, are not connected. It's almost like they're speaking different languages.
True.
And it's hard to even imagine that connection sometimes. Yeah. What form it takes or why.
What does it even mean?
Yeah. What does it even mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's almost the way that I describe it is one speaking French and one speaking Russian and nobody speaking English, so there's no conversation. So we look for love or we look for sex, but we don't look for the same thing in the same place. So there's always a lack of fulfillment of something that we're looking for more in experiences.
And then we start adopting all these kind of concepts that we pick up in porn or, you know, if somebody doesn't want to go there, they try to pick it up from Bible or understanding of religion, what is my sexuality actually, because I never go there. So I kind of pick it up consciously or not conscious.
And again, that porn model, and the interesting thing is most of Western sexuality is based to some extent on a porn model of sex.
So I mean, also what you're talking about is how we compartmentalize and separate everything. So like the sex happens here and these are the circumstances, and then the love or the heart happens here, and then the head happens here, and nothing integrates. And when that happens, then obviously you need the porn, because it's like something, you know, you need to start up somehow. Mm. And there's, and you've got, you know, you've ditched the rest of your being.
Yeah.
So how do you start up? You know, so you know, you need the porn because that's the focus.
Yeah. And now I'm going to tell you something so interesting about that from a man that I've been working with on a really deep healing journey. Uh-huh. And the changes he has made in his life from this is incredible.
Okay.
But one of the things that came out in a discussion a few weeks ago was that his response and reaction to porn has totally changed in a way that it's having almost no impact on him. It's like the charge of it has gone.
Mm.
That is very cool.
And when you move into your heart, that's what happens. The charge of that actually goes. It doesn't mean that you can't get turned on by something erotic, but it becomes so different that the entry point becomes different.
Yeah.
So therefore, what turns you on becomes different. So I'm going to share something with you now from my relationship.
Okay.
And the depth of intimacy that we have has become that the emotional space is actually the bigger physical arousal than the sexual arousal.
Hmm.
If I'm explaining that well.
Yeah.
Go a bit deeper. Yeah.
By being more in the heart space, the physical arousal, the genital physical arousal becomes so much stronger as opposed to it starting in the genitals.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. That's exactly kind of, that's what you've been describing.
Yes.
That's the lack.
Yeah.
We don't know where to start it, but this is actually a new entry point.
So when the heart becomes the center, sexuality changes enormously. And I see in my body what changes. I'm just going to use myself as an example. That
best way.
The quality of erection, for example, the length of erection, the duration, and the sexual energy has become so different from where it starts from the heart rather than from the genitals.
Can you maybe, a good metaphor will be that, like you and Christos also discussed, that kind of there's a disconnect. Once there's a connection, it's almost like the metabolism, you know, you can feed, you can transform. Sexual energy can become emotional energy. Emotional energy becomes sexual energy. It's like there's no beginning and no end. It just transforms and it goes kind of in different waves.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is how I've come to understand some things about our patterns.
Okay.
Our patterns are actually a memory. Okay, we live in patterns.
Sure.
So the easy way I say to understand this, every time you brush your teeth in the same way. You bath or shower, you wash in the same way. Sexually and in relationship, and the extension of that is life, we do the same thing in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it works or we think it works. It's our comfort zone or it's what we know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're living a memory. We're not living a choice.
Mm-hmm. Conscious.
So, okay. Now, what happens with this is everything that we do has some emotional connection. When we did something, especially something that was stressful, a chemical reaction happens in our body. Okay? That chemical trace remains. And when you are in a similar situation, your body brings that whole pattern online. So it brings the chemical pattern online, and all that your body does is it follows that pattern. So in a sexual space, what you're doing is you're simply responding, or you're reacting, you're being in a memory, you're not actually being in a space of conscious choice.
It's like a wave that you know. It's a pattern of a wave.
Yeah.
I don't know, the word wave kind of connects since you started speaking about this. This alive, it's kind of, it's changing something from a pattern to something which is alive.
Now, where the body becomes so important in terms of being able to change these patterns is our body is a reflection of all of that. Your body goes where your mind goes. Your body follows your mind.
Okay.
When you can change that, so for example, for us, we do that through touch and through movement. So me, more touch, Christos, more movement. That's where you can actually start to change the patterns, and then you change the focus of what's happening inside of you.
And I think what you said earlier on as well is or I'm thinking that the pattern's not going to change if we still separate things. So if we still come at it physically, always, it's not going to change. Mm. But when we start to integrate, that's when the changes happen. It's like, if we go back to the erection, you know, if it's just a physical thing of blood being pumped there, then obviously it's going to come and it's going to go. If it's being sustained through something else, and this is where sometimes porn comes in, and you know, if it's the imagination, or, but we want to take it into the heart. So if it's the heart that's sustaining it, then it's more integrated and it's going to obviously last longer. But then it's kind of like tasting a beautiful dish that includes mind, imagination, heart, love, and the sensations of the body. Then you can't go back. So when you said early on, you know, with the example of that guy who's kind of like moved on, when you've tasted the full dish, it's kind of like the little bits become, you know, second best.
Then you know what, there's something new already.
And that's very challenging for a lot of people because they don't know where to put that, what to do with it.
Yeah, it's not what it's supposed to be.
Because everything changes, that if I've been having sex in a certain way for 20 odd years and all of a sudden something different, I don't know what to do with that. And then I have to understand, and exactly what you're saying there, it has to be integrated into the fullness of myself and my life.
It's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming.
When you come to these spaces initially, it is overwhelming.
It's true.
Yeah. And that's why I think a lot of people don't want to do that deep work, because our world lives, and I'm making a very generalized statement here, but it thrives on mediocrity. And it thrives on comfort, surface
and comfort
instead of wanting to go.
Yeah, and the deep. Quick fix.
Yeah. And also, we really, Jonty, you spoke about, I think, the last show, and also you touched with Christos on it, on the fact that we really do work. It's easier for survival to work on auto mode, right? So a lot of things are automated. And we know it from work, and Jonty, you've been touching on it quite a lot, business, the connection of business and pleasure, the connection of being creative and pleasure, or creative and also happiness. And there's a lot of discomfort of changing your patterns, and you need to consciously get out of those automations and those, you know, those kind of, let's say, things that are easy to operate with. And then you have to say, wow, okay, I'm making time for this. I want this. You actually have to make a choice that you want that, because let's say you had a great experience, the brain immediately, well, that's for me, categorizes it, and oh, that was a lot of work, hey? That was a lot of work. Let's keep it for weekends. Let's keep it for once a month, or when we go to Africa Burn, or, you know, when we do the entrance once a year, that's great. I'm going to go to Christos weekend.
By the way,
yeah,
we are going to Africa Burn.
Yes.
You guys are cool. I want to do something so cool. It's my mission.
Please buy your ticket.
Yes.
ASAP.
Because it's about to
finish. Come and share with us, because we're both going to be teaching there. We're going to be doing some stuff together.
That's divine.
Sensual movement and touch. And Christos is going to be doing some movement. Got to come. You got to come. We'll
come.
Talk more
you
about it.
You have to
it.
Come and come.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We'll talk more about it.
So, yeah. So, you know, it's in many ways, it's a new understanding that you need to make time for it. Yeah. And it's and there's so many benefits. So you have to get to that place that realizes that it's going to keep on growing. Mm. It's not hard work. It's just to create new patterns. And going back to you, Christos, it's not necessarily going to end there in that amazing new dish, because that dish is going to grow and change. It's going to become even a bigger, more beautiful dish.
And I've realized it from time to time, but I think yesterday it sunk in. I was in a session with a client who has had a huge shift in her understanding of stuff. And a big part of that was your retreat last weekend, which was enormous, where so much came together for her. But one of the things I realized was that when you want to live with that different vibration, in that different frequency, in a different energy field, you have to be incredibly vigilant. And that's where it has to become a practice.
Yes.
Not something that you kind of switch on and off, that you take out of a box, you use it, you put it away again. Because to create that new energy field, you're creating a whole new pattern and a whole new way of being. And that means that you have to work with things as a practice.
So I think a couple of weeks ago we spoke about identity and how, you know, we guard that. But if we take this into relationship now and we want to change the pattern, it's a huge fear that comes up. Because if I've been having sex with my partner for 10 years in a particular way and that's not enough, or I feel I need to change it, what does it say about my relationship?
Sure.
Yeah.
And so it brings up a whole lot of other fears about, so it becomes wider. And so it's safer just to stay, you know, the way it is, because now I know that this is the relationship. Oh. This is the person I'm with. So, you know, this is the way we do it. Don't rock the boat.
Don't move. Don't move anything. Yeah, don't move it. Don't move my cheese, is the book called. Don't move it. Just it's comfortable. We know it.
And I see this in my practice lots, where one partner comes and does a healing journey, and they change enormously. And the impact of that is that they want something different from their relationship.
Mm.
I'm not going to use the word more, because
no, it's different.
They want something different, and their partner often can't offer that anymore. When consciousness expands, all of a sudden, I want something different.
And going back, your starting point was so interesting. When we define what is more from sexuality, so what, do you want more erections? Like, do you want more of the actual technical sex? It's usually not, that's what's not
about.
That's
what most people think that they want, is firstly, I want it bigger.
Yeah,
and I want it harder, and I want it
longer.
Yeah, instead of understanding that if that's your entry point, you further separate from the heart.
You put pressure on yourself.
Yeah,
then
it becomes about performance.
Hmm.
And when you change that, when the entry point becomes the heart, everything follows from that. Because when the heart energy flows, and when energy from your heart is flowing into your genitals, it's a totally different physical response than if it's starting in your genitals.
I feel like some men are listening to you now, and you speak Chinese.
Well, you know, I woke up this morning and I was thinking about this, that there are certain levels of thought, of practice, of understanding of sex, that for most people are not going to be understood.
But turn it around. You know, if starting from the heart and moving down is something that could be a little bit alien or challenging, whatever, turn it around and say, okay, if you focus down on the genitals, that's where everything remains. But what about spreading it from the genitals up to the heart to everywhere? And then your whole being becomes sexual and your whole experience becomes holistic. So actually we're giving you more.
You get a good deal.
Yeah, you get a good deal. You get more.
And that's where so much of, you know, so many of the neo-tantric practices, Taoist practices, that you start with that and then you use breathing, you use different techniques of moving the energy through your body. But for a lot of people, the connection between heart and genitals has to be acknowledged first.
And men make, also women, but men make many times the assumption that if I'm going to be more fit and I'm going to work on it, there's a lot of action involved in being a better lover or having better sexuality. And actually, it's relaxing into it. It's getting more blood to the vessels that are around your pelvis area. It's getting flexibility. And when I practiced yoga with Valentina last week, and she was helping people to really get into a very meditative state of practicing yoga. And it was so wonderful to see that connection. She kept on saying, if you get an erection now, because actually finally your pelvis is relaxed, just let it be. It will come, it will go, I don't take it. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's about your body finally getting blood to flow. We don't understand how much the sitting all day, stressed, performance issues, anxiety around it is just not allowing even the body to do what it needs to do, and it's more to sink into the meditation and not to get more muscles. And
well, it's more about being than doing.
And beautiful way.
You know, I say that so much, that we are human beings, not human doings. So let's expand that into we're sexual beings, not sexual doings.
Mm, very nice.
And the interesting thing is, because a lot of sex is doing. When you can be in that being space, then the doing flows from that in a very natural way.
Yeah.
That it's not forced.
Uh-huh.
There's no struggle. And I think a lot of... my lover said this past week, and I wrote something about it, that was very much our narrative of sex is this contractive struggle. Because it is a struggle. Orgasm is the struggle, and it has to be achieved. And I have to make you come, and I have to come, and I have to last forever, and get into 55 positions, and wear out 55 bottles of lube, and all that crap.
I like the 55. Yes, 55.
What's this?
Hamsa,
so
Hamsa,
what
Hamsa.
Are these 55 positions? It's,
is it the quick start the quick tantra? Well, it's definitely not the Kama Sutra. So,
but it changes the perspective when the doing becomes a natural extension of the being.
That's a really beautiful way of putting it. And Tamar, I like the thing you introduced here about movement in the pelvis and how movement unlocks physically, but it also unlocks the energy as well.
Mm.
And, you know, I have a really funny story. So, you know the dance, the rumba?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a lot of pelvic movements. You know, it was scandalous when it was introduced to our grandparents or whatever. And it was like a huge scandal. And I'd laugh about this because dance and movement becoming scandalous. Because why? Because you move your pelvis, as you say. And the next thing, everything else starts up.
And from there, by the way, a third world war is so close. Yeah. That's what the fear comes. Yeah. You're going to have an erection.
But look what came from that. I mean, in the 50s. When did Elvis start?
Yeah, then in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. And his nickname in the beginning was Elvis the Pelvis.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I teach people the love dance, which is a whole series of pelvic movements that are very much about moving your hips, and you see the stiffness in so many people, men and women. And even dancing with you, the awareness of that.
Yeah. Now you see it all the time.
Yeah.
That there's such a disconnect to the body through movement that everything moves like a vertical pole. You know, everything's held, and it's what you spoke about earlier, the contraction. It's everything is contracted, held, you know, together.
And, you know, the bigger picture of that, and I think why some of this is so challenging for so many people, all of our life has become like that. You know, work, business, money, family, time, devices, electronic, digital. It's all about this contraction. And as soon as you actually just take a breath... And I had an image with a client this week. It was really deep, and that she was holding on to some stuff so tightly. And I said to her, can you open your hands and let this go? And she said, I actually don't know how to open my hands. So how many of us know how to open our hearts?
Mm-hmm.
How many of us know how to take a breath and let everything in your body go soft? And how to let everything in your life just kind of settle for a minute.
Mm. We had a beautiful process on the retreat of acknowledgement. And before, you know, the group acknowledged people individually, I would say sort of open your arms, open your heart.
Mm.
And that gesture of just opening up and receiving the words...
Mm.
Changed people's faces. Mm. It and you know they became alive. The eyes were alive, and the grins and the smiles. So it's kind of like as much as you let go by opening up, you can receive. Mm. So it's not just about you know, it's not a one-way thing. And, and what happens when we hold is we can't receive.
Wow.
So we can't receive the other. We can't receive the love, the heart, the whatever it is.
Yeah. And in contraction, we can't share our real selves.
Mm. No.
So it's not only the receiving, but we can't let what's inside out. So we end up having relationships from surface to surface and mask to mask, not heart to heart.
I have a theory that exactly connects with what you say. Bless you. Almost. 55 now. I have a theory that some friends or women from the women events that I hold once a month, bless you, ask me, how did you get to know York? Never mind, you know, in a sex club, but how did you meet York and why did it work? Oh, we're so jealous. I say to people, you have nothing to be jealous, first of all, of. Love is there for everyone. But I really, my theory is that I really allowed myself to be me, vulnerable, and I allowed myself to not be scared of almost anything. So it wasn't looking for love. It wasn't looking for York. It was really actually accepting the fact that there's no fear, letting go, trusting. And there was no actually expectation of what's coming, but more of the relaxation into a state of I don't even want to say even self-love. It was relaxing around the topic. Mm. Acceptance. It was just not fear. Fear was dissolving.
That's the key to so much of life. And our whole world is built on contraction and on tightness and on holding on. And as soon as you relax, and you said it so beautifully, then you can receive. And as soon as you have that expectation of something, that's when you're interfering with the amazing gifts that life wants to give you.
But Tamar, what you're saying as well is what, if you link it to what Jonty said about being and doing, is that you move from a state of doing through whatever stories we have to a state of being, just being Tamar, whatever that means. And when we connect with it, the beauty of who we are just in being, then of course we're going to connect with love. We're going to connect with others. We're going to connect. And it's all there, and it's not a desperation. It'll come, it'll flow, and I flow with it. You know?
And it's such...
It's deep.
Yeah.
It's deep.
And, you know, I love stories. And the story that I tell quite a lot of three really great learned rabbis. They're getting really old. They're getting ready to die. And they say, when we die, presumably we're going to be confronted by some heavenly court and we're going to be called to account for our lives. Because that's very much the religious perspective. You know, very much this idea of judgment.
Yes.
And we're not going to be asked, why weren't we like Moses? Why weren't we like Abraham? I'm going to be asked, why wasn't I like Jonty?
Yeah.
And for all of us, for Christos, for Tamar, that's our thing, to be who we are. Not what anybody told us to be. Mm. Not what anybody said, you need to be this way to get love or to get accepted, or you need to behave in this way to get ahead in life or to be successful. To be you. And it's one of the hardest things for us because of the pressure, the judgment.
Mm. Comparisons.
And I think one of the extreme levels of fear about this is the transformational impact on the bigger picture of life and on the way that our society is structured. Because when more and more people do this, more and more of the structures that we have get questioned.
Exactly.
In terms of how we do business, in terms of how we live, in terms of the relationships that we have, in terms of this incredible desire for things.
But also, in a way, if you think about it, how many people run around going like, what's my purpose? What should I be doing? And it's always about a story or a goal.
Yeah.
Which we get fed, exactly what you said, the structures around us. And, you know, if you just say to people, you know, your purpose and goal in life is to be you.
Mm-hmm.
then you don't bind to that, and that's threatening for not society.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a huge challenge. Mm. Then that's everything starts to crumble.
And it's also threatening for so many online programs that are all about helping you find your life purpose, where it's actually just one sentence.
The biggest organization sits in every corner of the streets and has a big cross on top of it and says, we'll help you find your purpose.
That's it.
Just come on Sundays. We'll help you. There's a group.
Yeah.
And on one level, it's so simple to say, just be you.
No, it's not simple at all.
No.
In principle, in the essence, it's simple, but it's a whole life journey.
Yeah. And the important thing is making the journey. And for a lot of people, it seems insurmountable. And I've seen this, you know, people who come and sit in my practice in states and in spaces of the most intense pain. And to say, just relax, because one step at a time, we're going to do this. And people say, well, how do I change it? And you change it by doing one thing at a time. And you allow the change. You can't force the change. And you can't even make the change. You have to allow the change. Because when you do that, there's no resistance. There's no struggle. And then, as you said, there's flow. Mm.
Then we're going to touch on authenticity, I think, because that's where the conversation is kind of flowing from. Okay, so I let go and I discover something new. And I relax into new things. And then the authenticity starts to show. And it takes me back to my funny story of the fetish party I visited last weekend. And I promised myself I won't go to the medical room because I always see weird things that I really, it's hard to watch for me. You know, I'm more into pleasure. And
I like that room.
I'm glad you like it, but I saw things that I don't think you would like, especially when it's not inserted into your beautiful penis. And yeah, but anyway, so when I looked at that couple play in the medical room and I saw cock and ball torture play, which is not my favorite thing to look at, but the connection between them and the beauty of the authenticity that she was giving him so much pain / pleasure, but it was his authentic self and she was accepting him, or vice versa, I'm sure. This is, you know, this is him. And he found a person to really hold him in that, whatever space it is, acceptable or not acceptable to society, and that I found beautiful. So to find that authentic self, be calm about it, accepting it, and then communicate it slowly to your partner that maybe for 10 years didn't know about that side of you. Start introducing it. It's also a process. It's also something that I'm sure you see a lot in the practice. Because, you know, people like coming to Christos, to your movement, you know, to your biodanza, and they love starting things, and then things start to come up, and then they run away a mile. You know, John T, people, I'm sure if you look at it like a diagram, like, you know, like looking at a, people come, they pay for the program, they come for 2-3 sessions, and I'm sure a lot of people disappear.
Absolutely, because it gets very challenging, it gets really difficult, and things do come up, and we both see this in the work that we do. So much, and
it's that fear, it's that defense, it's that, I mean, what you said earlier on about being willing to change is a huge thing. And what I admire, and I just absolutely, you know, really gives me a lot of pleasure, is to witness the people who are willing, who are challenged, who are faced with the fears, but stay and carry on. And I just, you know, I embrace those people as beautiful souls because they're willing to go past because something is calling.
Yeah.
And that something is just a richness. You know, if we bring it back to where we started with the sexuality, if you're willing to bring your heart into it and it feels strange and it's alien and it's whatever, if you are willing to keep on until you finally experience that heart genital connection, then everything explodes into beautiful bliss, you know?
Yeah.
And you live very much in a space of mystery with that.
Yes.
Because every day is taking you to an unknown.
Exactly.
And in the beginning we were talking about that idea of patterns. We know the pattern, so we stay there. And the interesting thing is there's a part of the mind that's job is survival, full stop. Mm. That's all that it does.
Sure.
Survival means you will do what you know. But survival has nothing to do with happiness and nothing to do with fulfillment. And that part of your mind has no interest in you being happy. It has no interest in you being fulfilled.
It's just about continuing.
So you have to find a different place of being, something different within you for that fulfillment, for that happiness, that richness of life. It has to go somewhere totally different, and it has to come from somewhere totally different.
Yeah.
And that's the heart.
I love the word mystery that you brought up, because it is, you know, the whole journey is a mystery.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And being willing to enter the mystery.
Yeah. Mm. You know, we've been talking a lot about the words that we use.
Yes.
And it's been a big thing for me, because I listened to the words that I've been using for so long, and I realized I don't know what a lot of them mean anymore.
Mm.
Hmm. They've become kind of, you know, there's a general understanding. So you say, I'm on a spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And I got to a point of saying, well, okay, I understand that to some degree, but what does the word spiritual actually mean anymore? And I sat a while ago and I listened to somebody talk about an amazing experience that she'd had, and so many of the words she was using from a psychedelic experience. And I just started thinking, you know, I've used these words plenty.
Mm.
Do I actually really know what they mean anymore? And the word spiritual, I don't know what it is anymore. So we're kind of putting the word mystery there.
Hmm. Love the evolution.
And for me, a really difficult thing is to say, I don't know. It's a really hard thing for me.
So I have a little challenge for you, because I think...
Yeah.
No, because I think what happens is that when we say I don't know what it means, we want to actually resolve it with words in our minds. Mm. And I think that a more powerful way of knowing is without words.
Mm. Mm.
And to feel it in the body. Mm. And I mean, you know this, and the only way you're going to feel it is to engage the body. It's going to be through touch, it's going to be through movement, it's going to be through breathing, it's going to be through other things. And that's also strange for people, because they want to write it in the journal.
Yes.
Dear diary, today I felt spiritual.
Yeah.
You know,
today I had a revelation. Yeah, something was unfolding.
And put it in words. And it's, the mystery is beyond words. That's why it's a mystery.
Yeah. And it's only in the present, and it's gone.
Yes.
You can't get attached to what you experienced today in Bayodanza or in in the ritual. And it's all connected. Once you start, you know, we say things and then we have to stop saying them and live them. And I remember when I practiced a bit of Gaga, which is from Ohad Na'arin.
Yes, I love that, yeah.
Yeah, so this was, in Israel, it's a huge thing. And a lot of my friends are dancers. And they took me to classes, and they say, don't dance from your head. Because I have some background, long time ago, elephant years ago, but that I was dancing, but I was always dancing from my head. So it's a pirouette, and it's a position A, B, C. And then in Gaga, they say, just move from your body. Don't move from your head. Don't move from what you know. And the same I can take to pleasure, and the same I can take to living. I don't want to do just what I know and what I'm used to it, because it looks good. This is why I used to dance like it, because it looked okay. I know my hands are moving in a certain way, and it looks okay. And if I... you know, I let my body move me, and I surprise myself. It looks funny and weird, but that's real.
If you go back to my Facebook page, John T. Searle on Facebook, on Tuesday, I think I posted something that I'd written. It was a memory, something that I'd written and posted probably a year or two ago, and it's exactly about that.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's about, don't try and understand it, just feel it.
So I like the dance, because it's a quite a strong image. And if you think about it, it's the difference between dancing somebody else's choreography or being the choreographer.
Mm.
And when you're the choreographer, then you're free. You do what you feel. You know, when you're dancing somebody else's choreography, you got to follow the rules.
Yeah. Live your own, be your own choreographer.
Yeah.
That's a cool way to say it.
Yeah. And in your heart is the most amazing guide, is the most amazing teacher, is the most amazing choreographer of life. That will guide you through so much. I will find it for next week's show. An amazing song. We'll put it on our Facebook page.
Okay.
It's called "It's in Every One of Us," and I think Cliff Richard sang it. It was from a musical. And two lines from it are that, well, more than two lines. It's in every one of us to be wise. We can all know everything without ever wondering why.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
And why is sometimes the single worst question that you can ask. And I teach, one of the most powerful processes that I teach is how to engage with things through questions. And it actually...
That's what I was thinking just now.
Yeah, and it just brings up something amazing that... and you've spoken about this. How we can engage through movement and through touch as well, through questions. Through curiosity, through exploration.
You see, coming back, I'll come back to the choreography story with a movement is when people... you know, you put on the music and you say, okay, we're going to do something, and you can see that the head has engaged and they want to plan it and they need to know. And dance is not like that. You know, dance is you start moving and where it takes you. You don't know when you put the left foot down where the right foot's going to go next. Yeah. And that's the beauty of exploring. And and if we bring that back to touch, bring that back to sexuality, you know, it's how often, and you mentioned it earlier, it's routine. Okay, first it's going to be here, and then it's going to be here, and then I'll tweak that, then I'll pinch this, then I'll lick that, you know, and then it's just the pattern, the routine. Whereas if you just let it evolve and go, that the beauty happens.
Yeah. When I teach sensual massage, that's the very first thing, one of the first things that we teach is I say, put your hand on your partner's body and wait for your hand to move. And people sit and...
I want to know what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I don't teach technique of that anymore. And I used to. I used to teach 1,055. See, we're back to 55 techniques.
What is this about 55?
Hamsa.
And it's not about that anymore. Yeah. It's about letting yourself feel.
Feel and be present. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it.
We struggle, like York and I, my beautiful partner and I. We really... Those lessons that you guys are now sharing, and where you share in your safe spaces, you know, that you heal or you teach or you facilitate, these are valuable, and these are real tools. Maybe you can't measure them always in norm society, you know, like what does it mean to be in beautiful aqua or in Baudanza or in a safe space of conscious sexuality therapist. But like York and I were practicing sensual massage 2 days ago, and I realized that guideline was so missing. Just let your hand move. Don't think of where your hands want to go, or I'm going to now practice these three movements I've seen Jonty doing, you know, because York looks up to Jonty, of course, as his guru of movement. But it's wonderful that you know technique, but then you have to let it all go and let the choreography just happen. And only when you like, you really have to. It's a different mindset of pleasure. It's a different mindset.
Well, funnily enough, on Saturday the 24th, sensual massage lesson.
Fine.
I know, fine. It's such a great hardship.
Fine.
I'd love for you to be there.
This month of expanded orgasm and sensual massage sounds like I have a really...
And water massage.
And water massage.
And entrance. When's in, you're doing an entrance?
On 10th.
That's next 10th. Saturday.
Yeah. Okay.
It's entrance. Where do people get information on what you're doing?
Also on Facebook.
Yeah, we're on Facebook.
Visvita Center. VISVITA Center.
Cool. This has been a really fascinating conversation, and we've touched the surface of stuff. But what's coming? Yeah,
I love the way it's gone on such circles. Mm. You know, I thought it would be something different.
It's been beautiful. It's this amazing.
Yeah.
I have learned lately about spirals.
Okay, spirals.
Spirals. But it is there because it's the expansion. Yes. And we come back to a similar point, but there's been an expansion in bringing us back to it.
Yes.
So, spirals, baby. Spirals.
Expanded orgasm? Tuesday night. Okay. In London. And then 24th?
24th.
Central massage. It's one day.
Yes.
And do you have an orgy in there?
Very safe space. Get out of the gutter.
No, on the contrary, I just want to calm people that think, oh, it's going to be massage orgy. And it's not.
And on the 20th is water flow massage.
Wow, so this is like a month of beauty and change.
But that's the thing. There's so much possibility of change in this.
And the word
really
of possibility, this is a word that men that are listening should really connect to. Not what I can't do, but what are the possibilities?
What I can do. And what's coming out of this is we are getting really close to actually starting to present some of this work in workshop format
and the webinar
for people to be able to help you change these things. And I don't know, for us, that's so exciting.
It is. And what I like, because I mean, at this time of the year, you talk to people and they go, I'm so tired and it's Christmas and I'm burnt out. And this, you know, when you, and they like that because they've been doing all year. Mm. And if people could just, you know, say, okay, come and be held in the water flow massage. Come and be held in the, you know, or touched and just be. That the rejuvenation happens.
Exactly.
And the revitalization.
And that's where we understand the importance of these experiences as a practice, because of what they can do on so many levels beyond that idea of them being sexual experiences or sensual experiences. They're heart and soul experiences.
Exactly.
And that's what we're doing. I have loved this. Thank you both. It's been such beautiful and deep sharing. And somebody sent a comment in that's so beautiful for you that said that you sound so much gentler and softer. And that's beautiful to hear.
Thank you so much.
So that really is awesome.
Thanks. I'm going to go now to my guy vibrator and do something completely different. But I really feel it's your energy and it's Christos' energy, and I'm very blessed to just absorb that. So
thank you.
I hope I can carry it with me.
This has been really special.
Thank you.
And we wish you so much pleasure.
This is CliffCentral.com.